You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 11. Jeremiah and chapter 11. And as we considered exercising our understanding of God's Word by exercising our relationship to God so that we would be able to exercise the outworking of His goodwill, which is what it's all about. And we talked about praying in His name. Everything He does is for His name's sake. And we did all such things. And we shared together last time that God puts an amen after what He says. He puts an amen before what He says. And 25 times in the New Testament, verily, verily, I say unto you, 25 times. Verily, verily. Amen. That's amen. 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 And He puts amen at the end. Grace be unto you and amen. And amen has to do with affirmation, not confirmation. Confirmation involves doubt. Affirmation is no doubt. It's affirmed. Not confirmed, it's affirmed. So there's no doubt about it. So now, and we shared, we need to be amening, or to so be it. It is so, and so be it. Amen. God, You said it, so be it. God, do it. Now, here in Jeremiah, chapter 11, and in verse 4, God is reminding Israel of its wonderful benefits if they would obey and honor their relationship to God. And in verse 4, chapter 11, which I command you, I should read verse 3, I guess, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice, and do them, my word, according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. So you're going to have a unique relationship to me. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. Verse 5. That, you're going to obey, verse 4, that, verse 5, I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I, Jeremiah said, then answered I and said, so be it, Lord. So be it, O Lord. The word so be it, amen. So be it, or amen. Jeremiah said, so be it, as you have said, as you have it. If we obey, then we have the blessing. Now, keeping that, reminding Israel, all of the wonderful promises that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are very legitimate, and they are affirmed. Amen. God's going to do them. Now, Jeremiah chapter 4. And in Jeremiah chapter 4, picking up please, in verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, that's where to end up back with God, And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt, and then shalt thou, no, thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. So Israel's mission, remember, is to reach the nations, and when they honor God, all the nations are going to be blessed. So we know that peace cannot happen in the world until the Prince of Peace comes, until the Lord Jesus comes. And he can't come until Israel believes. So all the world is in upheaval, in a state of flux, all over the place. The whole world is, including our country, to say the least. Now, so, with that in mind, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. What are you going to say in the time of Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, remember, as we've been looking? Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Plow your heart, here you have it in verse 4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskin of your heart, of your heart. It's a heart thing. It's an internal thing. And you need to fix your heart. You need to return, verse 1, unto me. You need to obey, chapter 11, verse 4. You need to honor me as a in a relationship. And you need to do that. Now, keeping in mind, that they weren't going to do that in our study, you recall. So now, sliding over if I can, all the way over to chapter 32. Jeremiah, remember, amen, so be it, said Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 32, as we proceed, and Nebuchadnezzar and all of that, and Nebuchadnezzar's coming, going to take the temple, the land, etc., and the people. Now, and Jeremiah is reminded he's to buy a piece of property, and then he's going to go, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to take it, but Nebuchadnezzar is going to take it only for so long, because ultimately, God is going to give back that property, and that property is going to come back to Israel, to the people of Israel. So now, in response to God's request, command, to go and buy this piece of property, which he did. He obeyed God. Now, as you know, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I then turned to God, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, now what did you say, Jeremiah? He had just said, so be it, in our looking at it, Jeremiah 4, verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens, heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And remember the word hard, it means incomprehensible, extraordinary, wonderful, superhuman, beyond all understanding. God, there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing too hard. It's a wonderful thing, God, that you are such a wonder. There's nothing too hard for you. Nothing at all. Now, and Jeremiah said that. And Jeremiah believed God. And God is going to honor it. So you go through the prayer, chapter 32. And remember, you come to the end of the prayer in chapter 32 and in verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, after the prayer, the Lord answers Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard, too difficult, extraordinary, out of the ordinary, superhuman? Is there anything I can't do? Anything I can't do? That's the question. Is there anything too hard for God? That's the writes the question. And now, and of course, there's nothing too hard for God. And so Jeremiah is understanding that God is going to go and do a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. And God is going to do a wonderful thing for Israel, for a nation. God's going to do a wonderful thing for Jeremiah. God is wonderful, wonderful. And because God is wonderful, you can be wonderful. Wonderful. Hang on. Wonderful. God makes you wonderful. Now, let's get that. If we can, over in, please, in your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah chapter 28, you recall, Isaiah is living in the time of the 10 tribes in the north. The Assyrians are coming to take them captive, 722 BC. Going to take them and take them captive. And in the process, and Jeremiah outlives that Assyrian captivity, and he points to Babylon. But here in Isaiah 28, he points to Assyria. Israel, the 10 tribes, and Assyria is coming to take them. Now, Isaiah 28, picking up in verse, remember now they're going to trust Isaiah 28, verse 15. Because thou hast said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we in agreement? And the overflowing scourge shall pass through it. It shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge. Under falsehood have we hid ourselves. We've got a whole itinerary, a whole approach to protect us and keep us. And that is a covenant with death. The wrong war, you're looking to spare yourself from the Assyrians, and it isn't going to happen. Wow. Chapter 28, picking up, please, in verse 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, and that's God. What I did with David, the Philistines, what I did with the Canaanites, I'm going to do with you. It's a strange thing, a strange work. Wow. Because here we are, we're Israel, we're Jews, we're trusting God, we're supposed to be trusting God, and we're about to go into the Babylonian captivity. Now, what you're saying way back here, 100 years earlier or so, what are you saying back there, Isaiah? Well, I'm saying that's going to happen. The 10 tribes of the north, Ephraim, are going to be clobbered. And I think they aren't going to be clobbered. Everyone thinks everything isn't going to happen. Nothing's going to be that bad. That's what people think. And so it's a strange work, verse 21, and his strange act that God does, verse 22. Now therefore, be not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts, said Isaiah, a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. A decision is made. A decision is made to judge the whole earth. Not just Israel, but the whole earth. So if you think you are going to be out of it, Ephraim, the 10 tribes in the north, you better think again, because God is going to judge the whole earth. So now, having said that, then you have to say, well, then, verse 23, give ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Now, God, you're going to help us understand Jeremiah and Isaiah and your strange work. I am. Verse 24, doth the plowman, remember we read in Jeremiah 4, plow the furrow ground, plow your heart, break up the ground, till the ground in your heart, make it all, get ready for planting. They didn't do it, but they could have. Now, so God, what's your illustration? Does the plowman plow all day or every day to sow? No, the plowman cultivates, he tills the ground and gets it all ready. A one-shot thing, he gets it ready. He doesn't do it every day, he does it the one time to get it ready. Doth he open and break the clods, the ground up? And doth he open and break the clods of his ground over and over? No, God doesn't do that. He sets the ground up. Both are rhetorical questions. He doesn't do those things. That's a farmer. And verse 25. When he hath made plain the face thereof, the ground's already, doth he not cast forth fitches, fennel, dill, little herb, flower that grows, the little black seeds they're used for flavoring and put on things, to cakes and bread and to season them. And he scatters them. It's very small seed. So you throw out the seed and you throw out the seed and you throw it out. That's how the farmer does it. Uh-huh. Verse 25. And when he hath made the face thereof and scattered the and he doth cast abroad the fetches, or the dill, or fennel, and scatter the cumin, which is another seed, all of his very small seeds used for flavoring food, and cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley and rye in their place, and the wheat is cast, and they put the wheat in differently. They don't cast the wheat, they lay it down systematically, and lay the wheat and the barley, and then the rye. What do they do? The rye in their place, and here's the big field, and they take the rye seed and make a wall all around the field with rye, with the wheat and the barley, and then there's rye all around it in a square. Now, that's what they do. The farmer knows that. That's how they do it. And verse 26, for his God, humans, doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him. So how did the farmer ever know to do this? Well, Adam and Eve were well instructed, and Cain and all of them were well instructed. So the people weren't stupid about what to do, what kind of seeds and growing. They just knew it. And it's been handed down all through the centuries. And we know what to do with seed. And farmers do. Now, and God does that. God just gave it to humans to be able to exercise. Now, verse 27. For the fitches, or dill, fennel, are not thrashed with a thrashing instrument. You don't go and beat them. Neither is a cart wheel to crush the wheat, a cart on a wheel to crush the wheat. Neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin. In other words, you treat each vegetable, each thing you're growing, in the right kind of way. You wouldn't go and use a plow to gather up, or to a sled they'd have. They slide the sled through to get the wheat as they slide it along. You wouldn't do that with tomato plant. You wouldn't do that with tomatoes. No. Everything is done properly and picked properly. Therefore, verse 27 again, about the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod, a stick, and you go and hit the flour and knock the seeds off. Now, bread corn is bruised, crushed, because bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be thrashing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. So everything is done to keep the food and make it usable and cookable and edible. Everything is done properly. And the farmer knows how to do that, how to do everything properly. Now, do you understand that, Israel? We do. We do. We're farmers. All right. Now, put it to work. If you know how to do that, I know how to run forever and take care of it. So therefore, if you don't mind, what you think is a very strange thing isn't strange at all, if you understand. A farmer is able to do the right thing with the right seed, the right product, in the right way. I am able to do the right thing with the right nation, with the right people, in the right way. I don't make any mistakes. The farmer knows what he's doing, and I know what I'm doing. Verse 29. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. So God, here we are looking, and you used all the suitable instruments in the right way. And God, you are the source. You are wonderful. There's a little word. Too hard, Jeremiah 32:17. Too wonderful. Is there anything too wonderful for me? No. God said, listen, I am the Lord of hosts. I'm the Lord of armies. I'm the farmer, but I'm the Lord of armies. I'm the commander in chief. So what I do, on one hand, I can very tenderly raise the nicest plant and very wonderfully clobber the worst army. So you give me credit for what I do. Nebuchadnezzar's coming down, Assyria's coming down in this case. And now, so when, God, it's a wonderful, you're wonderful in counsel, you're wonderful in your counsel, you're wonderful, wonderful, wondrous counsel, wondrous, extraordinary, astonishing, superhuman. That's right. And I am the Lord of hosts is wonderful in counsel and excellent, great, working, undertaking every purpose. He's wonderful, excellent in working. So God, what you do and when you do it is all wise, all knowing, and wonderful. God, do the people of Israel see that? No. Jeremiah, do you realize that God is able to do wonderful things? I am learning it, said Jeremiah, and I'm going to stick with God so that I learn it well, that God is a wonderful working God. No question about it. Now, chapter 29 of Isaiah. And in chapter 29, may I pick up the thought? You'll pick it up. in verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as the people draw near me with their mouth, but their lips, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. So where do we get our view and our thinking about God? From each other. Not from God. If we were on the ball, everyone around you that was with it would help you understand you ought to obey and fear God. It's a fearsome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we'd be hearing that. Do you hear that? The fear of God is taught by us. We help each other. You don't need to be concerned. I don't need to be concerned. And that's how we understand God. Not from God, but that's how we understand it. So Israel in this case, is going to have to learn about God. And it's a strange thing. God, could you really do this? Because our normal life has been, we eat and drink and come and go and work and school and play, and we do everything. And now what is this strange thing? But it isn't strange. It isn't strange at all. You just never paid attention. You never looked to me. You never thought about what you were doing or how you did it. So now, thus, you're ready, in verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. We don't know, God, you'll never know what we think. And their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? No one sees and no one knows. Isn't that what people think? Sure they do. No one sees and no one knows and no one cares. And so God, and by the way, verse 14, do you see the two words, marvelous working? That is the word hard in Jeremiah 32:17. That is the word wonderful, wonderful, extraordinary. Now it's used, now read it that way. I will proceed to do a marvelous, extraordinary work, astonishing, superhuman work, even a marvelous work. I'm going to say it again, a wondrous work, extraordinary, and a wonder. Now use the noun, and a wonder, extraordinary. Extraordinary the verb, extraordinary the noun. Wow, how can you miss that? It's a strange thing, God, what you do. Remember, we just read it. God said, hold it. If you understood me, you wouldn't think it's strange at all. But you don't understand. So therefore, you are going to learn that I am some God. I am wonderful. I am awesome. Wow. Now God, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not. God never created me. I'm just automatically an accident, a freak. To him work say that he made it not. Or shall the thing framed, fashioned, say of him that fashioned it, framed it, he had no understanding. Somehow we just fell together and God didn't know what he was doing. And your body is extraordinary beyond extraordinary beyond extraordinary. Wonder of wonders. Wow. Wow. God didn't know what he was doing when he made us. That's how people think. God said, that's how you guys think. You're wrong as can be. And so therefore now, and in verse 17, is it not yet a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And you keep reading, God, you're going to do a wonderful thing. That's right. I'm going to let you get clobbered. And then I'm going to do another wonderful thing and restore it all, just like that. I'm going to take the new heavens, they're contaminated with sin, earth and the stars and everything, and I'm going to go in one moment, all gone, and all new, just like that. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing. You are a wonderful God. You are a hard, super-duper man. Wow. Extraordinary. Now, having said that little bit, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah and chapter 9. And you will note, please, in Isaiah 9, may I go directly to verse 6. For unto us, you're familiar with it from Christmas and all that. For unto us, 9:6, a child is born. Unto us a son is given, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And his government, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called, and there's your little word, hard, wonderful, extraordinary, out of the ordinary. Wow! That's right. His name's going to be called Wonderful, Wonderful One. Wonderful what? Counselor. Is anyone paying attention? A farmer knows how to do what he does. I know how to do what I do. Is anyone paying attention? Uh-huh. Now, and therefore, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, God, the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end to it, no, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He's going to do it. You're going to do the most wonderful thing in a most extraordinary way. And you're going to do it. A wonderful thing now. And so God, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would. Now, and so, God, here we are, over if you would to get a little thought for yourself here in the light of this. And what I'm trying to get a little, anyway, that God is a wonderful God. When you receive him as your Savior, you received God who is wonderful. When you receive God who is wonderful, you become wonderful. Because then what God does in you is all wise and all knowing and wonderful. And you have to learn to trust God's wonderful person. Why? Otherwise you're going to think it's strange things that happen to us. When they happen, how they happen, how long they happen. You're going to think it's strange in the world. And you got a strange world out there. God, how can you let all of this happen? How did you let the Assyrian army come in? How did you let Nebuchadnezzar level the city? How did you do that, God? Huh? Do you understand? The farmer knows what he's doing, and I know what I'm doing. That's a wonderful thing. So when I get a hold of your life, do you understand what I'm going to do in your life? Whatever I do, it's wonderful. Whatever I do, however I do it, is wonderful. And you're going to learn to trust me like that. No one trusts you like that, God. That's the trouble. That's why the Assyrian captivity happened. That's why the Babylonian captivity happened. And that's why the church is in apostasy, and we have no blessing across the world, generally speaking. It's not there. It's in our interest. Now, having said that, over if you would quickly. Picking up, please, in Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And in Psalm 40, you're familiar, I just want to lock it on again for you. In Psalm 40, you know, in verse 42, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your, there's your word, wonderful works. Your many works, wonderful, extraordinary works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Now remember, that's the same thoughts in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are what? Higher than the heavens. That's the word. Now I'm going to read it. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy the wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up or calculated in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, how am I going to handle this? God, I can't. I told you, God said, I'm wonderful. And what I do is wonderful, extraordinary, astonishing, superhuman. Don't tell me what I can't do. Don't tell me how to do it. Don't tell me how. You want to be saintly and enjoy who I am now and forever, then let me do my work. And you learn to trust me like that. Israel, you haven't done that, but you will. You will coming up. Over, if you would, please, to Psalm, as you know, 139. Psalm 139. And picking up, if I can. Remember now, speaking of God's presence, which you can never get away from. Verse 7, 139, 7. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? There's nowhere to go. That's right. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 14, or verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully, and wonderfully, there's your word, wonderfully, hard, extraordinary. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. God, I am a wonderful, wonderful, extraordinary exhibit of your creativity. Your genius, the wonderment of my being, my blood flow, all my systems, blood, lungs, and all of them going. It's amazing, God. Amazing thing. Wonderful. And my soul knoweth right well. Therefore, in, if I can, oh, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God, you knew all about me. Every single cell in my, what, 5 billion, no, not billion, no, wrong, scratch that off, 5 trillion. The little baby is 5 trillion cells. T. 5 trillion cells. Now, God, you know all those cells. I do. Wow. And, God, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Now, God, in the light of my physical being, I'm going to look to you. Now, you made me, you made us in an extraordinary way. Extraordinary. And you put a person inside of us with all those cells. Uh-huh. And God, I'm going to look at my physical body, which is a wonderful thing that you've made. And I'm going to go and look at you who made me. And I'm going to think of you who made me, and thy thoughts, verse 17, thy thoughts unto me, how great, O God, how great is the sum of them. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God, my outside, my physical being is extraordinary. And your thoughts about me are more extraordinary. Wow. More than the sand of the sea. Just think of a grain of sand, a handful of sand, and all the particles of sand. And then think of a truckload of sand. Think of a beach, the ocean, the oceans. God said, my thoughts. Now, it can't be. Ah, yes, it can. By the way, trillions of stars, that isn't even a good number. Billions of galaxies. Our own galaxy is, 100,000 light years across, 186,000 miles per second. Wow, 100,000 years. That's pretty far. God said, listen, I name them all. Don't tell me what I can't do. That's when you get in trouble. You start telling me what I can't do. You don't want to tell me what I can't do. You want to learn that. And trust me. Now, having said that a little bit, over if you would please, to Job. Job chapter 1. Now, God, your wonderful working is a strange work. Israel sees it as something strange. But Job, the same God, same wonder working, but you don't see it strange, Job. Why is that? Job chapter 1 and in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or hateth evil. Evil. And of course, Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? In other words, he's afraid of you. No, God is just honoring me for who I am. And then, so God gives permission to go and clobber everything Job has, except his wife. Clobber everything, his family, his sons, his daughters, his cattle, his sheep, his servants, his everything, property, wealth. God, he clobbers it one day. Wow. Now God does that. Now Job, I'm interested, Job, how did you answer? How did you answer? All of that took place in a few hours. Now what was your response to God's allowing the devil to devastate you? Verse 21, and I said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. There was no statement coming out of his mouth about God, why this and why that. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. That's a big plus for Job. Now, having said that, then the devil goes a little further, you know, in chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan said, all right, we couldn't get him that way. Let's try the other way. And Satan answered, verse 4, then the Lord said, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. So you're going to allow Satan to do it? And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine in thy hand, but save his life. You can go and strike his bones, his plague, from head to toe, and you're going to give him the plague. And he did. But he couldn't kill him. He could make his life miserable to be alive. Now, in the light of that, Job, how did you respond this time? In verse, if I can, going over to verse 10. Well, but I'll read verse 9, because his wife was such a help to him. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." What kind of God have you got that does these strange things? Verse 10, "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil and trouble?" Evil, trouble. "In all of this, Job, in all of this, did not Job sin with his lips?" He never said boo, and he just got clipped from head to toe. What would you say? What would you do? "I'd go to the doctor then." Okay. That's good. Now, in closing, over to 42. Job 42. In Job 42, I'll read verse 1. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel?" You are a wonderful counselor. You're the counselor, God. That's where we got to get our counsel from, you. "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, because I didn't understand, God. I uttered that I understood not things too," there's your little word, remember, "wonderful." Things too extraordinary, astonishing, superhuman. God, I would have never allowed the system. I would have just told the devil to go away. But you didn't do that. You let him clobber me. You let him do that. It isn't strange at all, is it? God, you can do good, and you can do, you allow good to come our way and trouble to come our way. Pain and heartache and headache. God, are we going to learn? You are better than any farmer. And all that you do, God, is wondrous and awesome, God. So God, it's very wonderful what you do. And God, Israel, is going to learn that. Going to take the tribulation, but Israel is going to learn it. And here we are looking. And God, you are a wonder. When I receive you as my personal Savior, when I receive you, you, God, you, wonder, wonderful one. When I receive you as my personal Savior, when we receive you as our Savior, you are the wonderful out, and now you're in. And you're the same wonderful God. And you, God, you do wonderful things. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wonderful things. Yeah. God, I make you a new creature. What? In Christ Jesus. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And you have to learn to trust God and let that happen. God, that's what I'm doing for you. I'm a wonder, and I makes you wonderful. In the midst of all everything in life. And it isn't. And you say everything's wonderful. Well, give it time. And you'll see the reality of things. In time, you will see the reality of your own body. That you think is untouchable. You'll see the reality. You'll see the reality in our government and the governments of the world. We're fortunate to live now in history when you don't have to be a big somebody trying to read something into history trying to find it. It's right out the window. What's happening? And all around us. And God, you let all of that happen. I do. And in the process, it isn't strange. No, it's rather awesome, wonderful. that you would allow Jerusalem to go and be leveled to the ground, and that you would allow our little life to be able, so that we would be able to learn to, from our heart, to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know all things work together for good to those that are looking to you, God, and trusting on your wonderful will. I can do more than the thoughts of the sand of the sea. Extraordinary. Wonderful. And so all of a sudden, we don't have to try to change our gender and all that stuff. You know. No, we just need to get to God and realize how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. Wow. So, perhaps you have a particular request as we go to prayer. Remember our country. Remember the men and women in the military. Remember the police.